Pur and the others are not, it's forbidden to take away, he has to give Tishnayim to the Pur, and it's forbidden to arrange to take away the Tishnayim from the Pur. Lo yuchol avakar ben ha'uva apne ben ha'asnah. Of course, it's ha'skor ben ha'asnah yakir lo tis lo Tishnayim. The Ramban in the Hasogis to the Sefer Mitzvot LaHaRambam claims that this is one of the Tariag Mitzvot. The Ramban lists off the Ramat Mitzvot Sesen, the Shastan Mitzvot Loses. The Ramban has Hasogis. He disagrees with several of the Mitzvot that the Ramban counted. He deletes them and then he replaces them with other Mitzvot. So in the Hashmotis, in the end of the Minyan Ho'esin, and Hashmot, the end of the Minyan Halavim, it's the Yudais, he says that the Yuchol Avakar should be counted as a Lav. And the Tzadkor ben Asnur Yakir, Yakir should be counted as a mitzvah. So there is a mitzvah incumbent on the father to see to it that his Pchor gets Tishnayim. And it's an Aveira for him to cheat the Pchor out of the Tishnayim. The Kreis HaChayshim quotes this Ramban and Simei Reish Chayalos, who's got an Aleph in Hilchos Yerusha. And he asks against the Ramban that it seems to be contradicted by the Gemara. The Gemara in Perkei Shneichlin asks, Gemara has a Machlokes Rebbeinu Chachamim. What do you derive from the pasuk Yakir? The Tzadkor ben Asnur Yakir. What does that teach us? So there is a Machlokes HaTanaim. Is the father Nehemah to say Yakir Yakir Ena Lachem? Is the father believed to say that one of my children is a mamzer? One of my children is a Ben Yishma Chalutza? We didn't think so. We didn't think the child is a mamzer. So to the best of our knowledge, this child is not a cholol. He married the Chayim, married an Ishik Sheva Lakuna. And then one fine day, the father makes a statement, you should know that this child is not my child, he's a mamzer. My wife was designed with somebody else. So there's a machlokes HaTanaim whether the father is Neman or not. If you say that the father is Neman, so that's derived in that pasuk, Yakir Ena Lachem. If you hold that the father is not believed in the area of Israel, he's only believed to say that this son is the poor for the purposes of getting Tishnayim. But Maria said, what do you need a pasuk for to teach me that the father is believed to determine to be Mavara, who the poor is? Whenever I control all the money, I have the money in my pocket. I didn't die yet. If I want, I can give you the Tishnayim now, and I can give all the others one share. So I don't want to give it now. So I want to wait till after I die, that you should get Tishnayim now. So the Gemara says, the other. Whenever it's the other, so it's Echad, even though he's a part of his belief. Father, even though he's related to all the children, even though he's only at Echad, normally the mom would need two kosher aidin, but whenever it's the other, so the Gemara says, the other is a separate amount. So the Gemara says, I have Lama and Ralph. And above Batu Oksan in Perkei Shneichlin. Gemara has a sugya. Baal Shama Gerash Tishtish Tinemim because Biyodah Lagarsha. Even though he's only 8 Echod and he's a Korob, he's related to his wife and he's related to himself. And the issue is one of the Elisha Bi'erbos to determine whether the woman was Mizgarsha or not. But still, the Aloha says that 8 Echod, when it's Biyodah, he controls the situation. He can give the get right now, Baal Korcha Shaloisha. But since Biyodah Lagarsha Asha, so he's Nemim to say that Gerash Tishtish. The Gemara asks the Kasha, what do you need a Pasuk Yakir? That the father is believed to say who the Pchor is, to ascertain who the Pchor is, we would have known on our own based on the principle of the other. But to this, the Gemara answers no, it's only the other for the money that he has in his pocket now. He's going to die in another 50 years, let's say. He's only 20 years old, he's going to die at the age of 70. So what about all the money that he's going to gain in the future? So that money is at the present time, a Dovah Shaloi Goliyodim. So the Dovah Shaloi Goliyodim is not the other to make any kinyon. That's why I need a pasuk yakir that he believes to say that this son is a pchor. And the Gemara says, but if you hold like Rav Meir, that the makna davish lo bali yoylon, so he can even be makna the money that he's going to get in the next 50 years. So since it's biyado there too, so what do you need a pasuk yakir yakir ben alachem? The father has no money to say who's the pchor. He would have known again on Aaron that it's biyado. So you shouldn't really need a gzeris hakosik. Gemara says no, that even according to Rav Meir, there are sometimes the davish lo bali yoylon. That he will admit to the Chachamim that he cannot be makan, namely the Nepasim Shinat Wallah Kishahu Gosei. If the father, let's say, before he's going to die, he's going to be in a coma for a couple of months, Grace is still Kafai, he's not dead yet. If the father will earn money, let's say, earn money from his business or whatever income he's going to get at that time, he's in a state of Grace, at that time he will not be ordered to be makan. Even though now he wants to be makan for Lapa's month, for some strange reason or another, the Rishonim have a whole dispute why. The Gemara doesn't say the reason why. The Gemara says, since at that time he will not be a Bardas when he's a Gosi, so therefore now he's unable to be makan for Lapa's month, the Dovash Lo Bali Yodin is going to get at the time that he won't be able to be makan. So the Gemara explains why we need a pasuk of Yakir. So the Ksei says, what do you see from the Gemara? That Yakir is not a chiyuv. Not that Yakir is a mitzvah, that the father is obligated to see to it that the Pchor gets the Tishnayim. The Torah says the Baget Tishnayim. If after the father dies, the Yorushim don't give him the Tishnayim, so they're Ganav, they violate Eloi Sigvo. But it's not the father's obligation to speak to the Baget Tishnayim. Yaakir is a din nemonis, the father believes. If he says the Kor is, we believe him. And the Gemara says, why in the world do you need a pasuk? Of course, he's believing. It's the Yodai. The Gemara says, either it's not the Yodai, even in the nemonis, or in the area of the Heter, he believes. So they say sign is against the Ramban, that everything that he says is against the Gemara. There is no such obligation on the father. That's what Ritzko Honan writes also. There's a Tshuva Sefer called Mate Levi, who was written by the Rav in Frankfurt. After Rav Shlomo Breuer passed away, so there was a fight we should take over the Rabbanus in Frankfurt. And the Auschwitz community, Hirsch's community. So there was all machlokes, so they didn't give it to Rav Shlomo Breuer's son, they gave it to, they imported a Rav. So they had the Bundesdorfer, they imported the Hungarian Rav. So they had this, Rabbi Horowitz was appointed the rabbi of the Breuer's community in Frankfurt. The one who was here, the rabbi, Rabbi Breuer, was the head of the yeshiva there. He was never the Rav in Frankfurt. The Rav at that time was this Rav Mordechai Horowitz. So he has a very nice Jewish called Mate Levi, very interesting Jewish. So because he wasn't himself a Yerke, he was an Ungarish, so he has a Jewish day. He wrote to all the big Rabbanim in the world, like everybody else. It's the German Rabbanim weren't so, didn't have such kshorim with the Litvish, with the Galician, with the Ungarish. So he himself was an Ungarish. So he wrote Biur Halacha in Hilchas Tishnayim to Rav Yitzchak Chanan, who answered him back. So Rav Chanan also writes like that. He thinks that the Ramban is a teller. How can you say such a thing? Because there's a mitzvah. Yakir is a mitzvah that the father has the obligation to see to it that the Chor gets the Tishnayim. He has to see to it that he gets Tishnayim. It's not his mitzvah. The children, if they'll cheat the Chor from the Tishnayim, they'll violate their mitzvah. It's not the father's mitzvah. Then he says, wrong. Maybe the father should write it into the will for a different reason. Not based on the mitzvah of Yakir. He thinks that the reason of such mitzvah doesn't exist, and Ramban is wrong. But he says, based on a different thing. Lakusha Neisura. If I know that after I die, I'm going to leave fortunes of money, and all children are going to be fighting, they're going to be killing each other over the Yerusha. If you leave a lot of money, it's going to be a fight. And I know that they're going to try to cheat the core out of getting the Tishnayim. And if I have it in my power to secure that they will not cheat my core, namely, by writing it into the secular will, that the secular government will secure that the core gets the Tishnayim, as my wishes were. If I have it in my power to secure the Tishnayim in the hands of the core, and to prevent an act of Zayla, there's a din. You always have to do that. If I see somebody in the yeshiva, somebody in the community who's in the Chal Shabbos, or who's a murderer, who's a cheat on income tax, of course, I have a mitzvah to go over and tell him, hey, that's not nice to kill the other guy, that's not nice to cheat on income tax, it's not nice to be in Hasha. And to try to mockish people from Yisur. Well, let's say, if I have the ability, without speaking to him, I can prevent them from doing Yavera behind the scenes. I can make a tahor in a secular court in such a way that he will be unable to cheat, the other brothers will be unable to cheat the poor from getting the Pishnah. The government will force them to give the Pishnah. So that's Givaldic. Why do I have to go talk my kishkis out to all the children? After I die, make sure you give the Pishnah to the poor and don't violate the other single. Go to your lawyer, they got a will. So they'll be prevented from violating my single. So this Gohanan Lamaita agrees with the Ramban. The father has the obligation to make a will in which he stresses, in which he specifies. Secular will that the government will follow, will respect, will see to it that the court is not cheated of the Tishnayim. But he says the Tamacha. He thinks that it's not that the father has a mitzvah of Yakir. He doesn't think there is such a mitzvah. He thinks it's a different mitzvah. The mitzvah of Aparusha Meisur Achayach to prevent people from violating Aver. The one question is, you have to determine exactly how much is the Tishnayim going to turn out to be. But the Gemara has a din that the Tchor only is entitled to Tishnayim, Mechol Asheyi Matzila. It's a Tchor ben Asnoa Yake, Lech Tzot Tishnayim, Mechol Asheyi Matzila. Tishnayim, the Gemara says, doesn't mean that it gets 2/3. That's what the conservatives have this whole hang up. We see from the Talmud that the rabbis were always changing the laws, and in the Bible it says that the first one son is entitled to 2/3 of the property, and the rabbis in the Talmud saw that it's no good. The Tchor is getting 2/3. Let's say the families were very big in the days of the Talmud, so the guy has 10 children, the Tchor gets 2/3. And the other 9 sons, let's say, have to divide the 1/3, so they get mamish popkin. So the conservatives say that the rabbis changed the din. The Gemara doesn't assume that they would change again. The Gemara understands that Tishnayim always meant, in the day of Maimon HaSinah, the day that Ban Shalom gave the Torah, the word Tishnayim meant that he gets as if he's 2 sons. that the man has 10 sons, and one is a b'chor, so you divide the Yerusha into 11 portions, and he gets to 11. Since he has 5 sons, so then you divide the Yerusha into 6 portions, and he gets 2/6. He gets 2 shares, as if he were 2 sons. Doesn't mean Pishnai means 2/3. They prove, the conservatives prove, that the word Pishnai means 2/3, and it doesn't mean 2 shares, double portion, from Elisha, that when Eliyahu HaNavi was about to go up to heaven, so he made a request of the Rebbe. He said that they should give me Pishnaim Beruchacha. I should get Pishnaim of your prophets, the Bikurcha Nevuah. So the Navi said, if you'll be present when they take me up to heaven, and you see when they take me up, so then your request will be fulfilled. The parsha in Malachim, the faith in Malachim. And if you won't be present, you won't see when they take me up to heaven, then your request will not be fulfilled. So he was present, and his request was fulfilled. So what do you mean his request was fulfilled? So what do you mean Pishnaim? So the conservatives say, what do you mean? He had the chutzpah to say that he wants to be twice as great a prophet as Eliyahu HaNavi. Chutzpah and hoz. Obviously he's asking, in the Abraha, I should be 2/3 as great as you. I should be 2/3 as great as the rest. So 2/3 makes sense. But from there is a raya, the 2/3, the Pishnaim means 2/3, and the Meila, the Chumash means 2/3. And the rabbis changed the din. Just like you can change the din here, you can change the din all over. Yeah. Even if this would be the case, that they changed the din, it just proves that you can change the din and dini mamanis. The Gemara says that also, you can change the din and dini mamanis because Hefke doesn't Hefke. The Gemara says that Hilchos Yerusha can be changed because Hefke doesn't Hefke. The Gemara has a machlokes satanim, and a bal yosef ishtar is a din daraisa or a din darabanan. So the Gemara asks the Yevamis, if it's only a din darabanan, how can they change the din and daraisa? The Gemara says that Isan Achasim, the Gemara says that Daphne says, Isan Achasim is a Dinda Rabbanon. The Gemara says, the Nindichman is a Dinda Rabbanon. So the Nindichman is a Dinda Rabbanon. The Gemara says, how can it be that the Dinda Raisa says one way and the Rabbanon changing the Dinda Raisa? So the Gemara says, yeah, have to come to Dinim Amman. So just because they can change it, even if that were the case, that they changed the Hilchos Yerusha, it doesn't show that the rabbis today have the ability to encourage the Balabatim to drive to Shul on Shabbos because Yeshkaf Achachon from Lakadosan Atayr. There is no such thing. There's the Kumbi Yaseh, there's the Shevi Alpasa, there's the Bimamas, there's the Sibahet, there's different categories, the whole Sugi Yimamas, that's Tetez, that's that, anyway. But the Gemara holds that the whole Pshat is wrong. That Be'eliyo HaNavi, the Gemara says also that he wanted double Kayach HaNavuot. Elisha HaNavi asked the Chutzpah to make a request. He asked for twice the Kayach HaNavuot Be'eliyo HaNavi. And then the Gemara says that his request was fulfilled in the sense that Be'eliyo HaNavi was once Mechaya one mace and Elisha was Mechaya two mace. That's how the Gemara says. And the word Pishnaim doesn't mean 2/3, the word Pishnaim means double, so by Elisha means they had twice the Kayach HaNavuah in one little area. In the area of, in the aspect of Kriyas HaMeis, they had double the Kayach of Eliyahu HaNavi. And here by Yerusha, the Gemara understands that Pishnaim means two portions. It means that there are 10 sons that the Torah gets, you divide it into 11 shares, and the Torah gets 2/11. That's the Pshat Pishnaim. So the Pasuk says, Kiyas HaTchor Ben HaSor Yaka Lesha Pishnaim, L'chol HaShe Yimotzei Lo. So the Gemara darshins on the word, L'chol HaShe Yimotzei, the Mukhzok, what if the father at the time of his death only had $1 million? And after the father dies, then the father gains more money. How does he gain money after he dies? Let's say his father died. The grandfather dies after the father dies. So the father at the time of his death, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov. So let's say Yitzchak has two sons, Yankov the eighth. So let's say Yankov is a b'chor. Let's say that Yankov is a b'chor, so he's entitled to Tishnai. So at the time, let's make believe that at the time that Yitzchak dies, he's only a millionaire. And after Yitzchak dies, then Avraham Avinu dies, so then Yitzchak yarshins the kever, lahan filabona, to pass on the Yerusha to his children. Then after he dies, he turns into a multimillionaire, the kever. Becomes a multimillionaire, he gets the whole Yerusha from Avraham Avinu. So the Gemara says that Yaakov, the Pchor, will not get Tishnai, not Yitzchak Yavu Adeyada, because that's called Roi, and the Pchor only gets the Muf. Fine, that's one kind of Roi. That's Roi, that's Luchol Adeyada. That the Pchor doesn't have Kibishan. Then the Gemara has a machlekes in Bavabat, the Kuskav Dalet, there's another kind of Roy. What if the father had loaned halvois to people while he was alive, and they didn't pay up the chayvus until after the father died? So there's a machlekes, Rebbe and Nachachamim. Is that called Roy or is that called Mukhzuk? So they're only paying back the money that the father had lent them while he was alive, so the father had the money. But on the other hand, at the time that he died, he didn't have access to the money. Maybe she's called Mukhzuk. Maybe she's called Roy, maybe she's called Moses. The Gemara has a machlekes, and we pass them that too is called Roy. That halvois are called Roy. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I should make a distinction. Who did you lend the money to? Did you lend the money to Anochri? Did you lend money to Ayisro? Lend the money to Anochri. That it says in the Sefer Tehillim, Ashapir Diba Shavim Min Shoker, he may never pay back the money. Who knows if you'll ever, if you kiss the money goodbye. So that's called Roy. Who knows if you're ever going to get the money back? But if you lend the money to Ayisro, talking about an honest yeshiva guy, he wouldn't cheat anybody, so of course he's going to pay back the money. Maybe that money should be called mukhtar. The Gemara says, nothing doing, doesn't matter. Loishna, if it's a milu bishtar, loishna, it's a milu balpeh, loishna, he lent the money to a crook, loishna, he lent the money to an honest person, to a yitzrel, to a nochri. Every halvah we pass from halacha is considered ra'ui, and of course does not get tishma. And now the shayl is, if every halvah is considered ra'ui, so what if I have all of my money in a savings account? So if you have your money in a safe deposit vault and the dollar bills are sitting there, or some people have their money in their mattresses, stuffed under their pillow, so that's mamash mukhzor, the money, the kish, the hard kish is sitting around now. But if you don't have the money sitting in a safe deposit vault, you put the money in a CD account, you put the money in a savings account. What does it mean? So the bank doesn't have to hold on to your dollar bill. The bank takes it as a halvor. And they're going to give you back the keren with the ribbons. They promise to pay ribbons. So that's mamash halvor. And they invest the money and they make a fortune. And then they pay you back your keren with the ribbons. It's a hashayla. Should that be considered, let's say you have government bonds. I lend money to the government, they're going to pay me back, depending how long I leave the money in the hands of the government, that'll determine how much interest I'm going to get. So the Nodi Yehuda has a tshuva about it. The machlok is between the Shoyl and the Nodi Yehuda. The Shoyl thought that the government bond should be considered mukhzor. Government? The government is going to default on the money. If the government collapses, so everything goes kaput. So what Shaykh would call that roi? I heard that should be certainly called muf. And then if you write in the Shuvah, he doesn't think that it's so. So Allah says that every halvor, the Gemara says, Loishna Yisrael, Loishna Achim, Loishna Mubu Bishtad, Loishna Mubu Alpeh, Loishna Lodhu Lodhu Zahna, so this time, every halvor is called roi, so it's roi. So that's one part of that's the other part of the Shuvah that the Mate Levi has. Mate Levi writes about that, and Rabbi Yitzchak writes back in his Shuvah thing. They discuss, and here the Aruch HaShulchan has like that, and Reisha and Ches, and Sif Yud Gimel on Yeruch HaShulchan. Tzara Shalom Malucha. What if you have a government, bond? Is that considered Roy? Is that considered Muslim? So the Pashtus is that we assume that all Halvors are considered Roy. That's not the Pashtus. It's not because you're uncertain as to whether you're going to collect back the money. Even if it's 100% secure, and all of the money you have in your savings account and your CD account, it's federally insured, of mamish, the money was loaned to the government, federal bond. So the pastor says that we assume that all of this is called Roy. I was told in the name of Moshe Feinstein, I don't know if it appears in his story, I was told by one of his talmidim that he held not so. He held Allah like the show, and the Nadi Yehuda's children, that not only the keren, let's say I put in $1 million in the bank and it's getting interest, and not only is $1 million called mukhzor, even that amount of the interest that I never had. I put the money in the bank 10 years ago. So even the amount of interest that I could have collected before, on the day that I died, if I would go to the bank, if I would go to the government and want to redeem the bonds, they would give me so much money. They wouldn't give me any hassle. Even though legally speaking, according to the bylaws of the bank, according to the contract that it says in the bank, that I think they're not mukhiyah to give you the money, they have a right to wait 30 days. But Lamai said, they're not going to wait 30 days, they're going to give you the cash right away, they're not going to give me a hard time. I was told that Rav Moshe held that in such a situation, not only the keren is considered mukhzor, even the ribbis that had accumulated up until the time that the father died, that if he would have gone in to collect it, he could have easily collected. No one's going to give him a hard time, that's called roi. And only the interest that accumulates later is considered mukhzor. Or if you have a private loan, if you loan money to a private firm, or to a private individual, so then the Gemara says that's called roi. But money loaned to the bank, that if you go in, they'll give it to you right away. That money in the bank, but the government bond, I was told that Rav Moshe held that that's called mukhzor. So that's a shayla l'halacha when a person said it's called mukhzor against the way it's generally. I think it's generally.
It's worth money for him. You can go to anybody and take money. So
you can say, that the bond itself is a shavah kesef.
Yeah,
the bond itself is a shavah kesef.
What's the shir?
Shares are people. I mean, a person has shares in a corporation.
Shares in the giant stock exchange.
Right. So the pashtus is that he's a shutif. The pashtus is that the shares mean that he's a shutif in that business. So that goes be
more.
There should be
mukhzor.
There should be more mukhzor.
There's actually more right here than any else. Because you take a look at what we've gone through in this country in the last year alone. Some of the shares have gone down by 40-50%, and some have gone up.
Yeah, let's say I have a tape recorder in my house that belongs to me. So that's mamish mukhzor. I said, what if tomorrow the value of tape recorders goes down, instead of being worth $25, now it's worth $1. So that's called Ro'oi. No, I have to take a quarter mamash. If I have shares in a corporation, I own that bylaws. I'll be pashtus. I own that bylaws. If the Shabbos goes up or the Shabbos goes down, so that's the way anything. If the father leaves property, karka, talcoin, the value always fluctuates, goes up, goes down. The other shayla is, what's the getter hadin of shares? That was a big dispute in Europe, whether we should consider shares as truly considered as a shutfis, if the father owns part of the business, so that goes birusha to the shum. That's mamash muhdub. Should we say that shares just means I have a schud to make money on the deal? So if it's a schud to get money, it's not that I really own a shutfis in the business. So then it might be that it's considered the road. Good question. So the Maaser of Yitzchak is masking with the Ramban, that it's incumbent upon the father that he should make a tzavur, and then he goes into the details exactly what should he write into the tzavur. He should include that he's giving Yerusha to all of the children according to what they're entitled to get, and he has to include also that the poor should get the Tishnai, not so much from Mitzvah Yakir. He doesn't think that such a mitzvah exists. He thinks that the Ramban is wrong in interpreting the pasuk Yakim means that he's obligated to, because the Gemara understands Yakim in the sense that he's Nemon, he's believed to establish who the Torah is, but rather because of Afrusha Meisun. And the Sefer Chaim of Rokhna Mishmer Shom, which is a very good Sefer that some you should be familiar with, it's a Sefer written by one of the Goinim from 80 years ago. all of the Hilchas Avelas. Arranged alphabetically Alpi Aleph Beis. And he has another sefer called also Chaim Avraham Mishneh Shalom. He originally wrote a sefer Mishneh Shalom as a commentary on the Prima Gadam on Yeridayim. Today in our yeshiva not too many people study the Prima Gadam, but in Europe the Prima Gadam was studied by everybody. Everybody learned the Prima Gadam, so they needed a commentary on it. So he made history by writing his Mishneh Shalom. And then after that, everybody recognized him as one of the Goinei HaGoinim. But then Rav Chaim Brisken, the Yosamer, and many others gave him, and the Marsham, many others gave him a haskama on his two little svarim, and the Chaim Rav Mishmarsham on Hilchas Dalad Minim, where he has all of the dinim of Lulav and Esrog alphabetically arranged. And every sefer that's put out today, and Hilchas Dalad Minim always quotes what he has to say, because he quotes, he's a Baki Nisvam. So he quotes all of the kids from all of Rishonim, from all our friends, from all over the place. And the same in this sefer on Hilchas Avelos Alpi Alephim. This one is printed in the back of the gigantic Yerideus. The very expensive Yerideh, that is in the end of the third Chelek Yerideh, the whole state. So here under Oy Tzadik, under Tzavor, he quotes from the Achronim that the proper thing is that when a person reaches the age of 50, he should start making a Tzavor as the Pasuk, and the Remez is the Pasuk, Vishnasa Yavel Azosto Shuvu Isha Lachu Zosto, when a person reaches the age of 50, Vishnasa Yavel, he should start thinking of Shuvu Isha Lachu Zosto, returning back to his Maker. And he should write a tavor. What should he write in the tavor? So he should write how they should bury him and so on. And he should write how much money they should give to tzedakah after he died. Then he writes the significance of giving tzedakah and so on. That's a little bit what should be included in the tavor. The question is, what tokus does this tavor have? Fine, he should write a tavor. So if all he writes in the tavor is that I have 5 sons, and 1 son is a poor, and the poor should get 2 6, and each of the others should get 1 6, there's no problem. But it says Mechumish, Yakir, everything wonderful. What if he decides he wants to give his uncle, he wants to give this yeshiva, he wants to give the UJA, he wants to give the Federation, he wants to give Israeli bonds. He writes a whole bunch of things what he wants to give. So all of that has toket. That's all included in the Din of Tzavor. Where is this Din of Tzavor? Where does it say? So the Mishnah says in Bava Basu, Kuf Lamed Amar Aleph, that there is a Din of Tzavor, they write. It says Mechumish, V'hoyo B'yom Hanchila Az Bana Beis HaShayihi, hello! So the fact that it's the Vahid Yom Achila is Bono, so you see the Tanah in the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yechon ben Berakhia says in that Mishnah, Kuflan ben Aleph, HaTorah Nasnu Rishus La'av L'Hanach L'Chol Mishi Yirtze. What do you mean B'yom Achila is Bono? Guy dies in the Mele, his money goes to Yerusha, he's not Manasa Labani. Nifta Tifta, he died. After he died, so the money goes to Yerusha, to the children. What kind of a Lashon Achila is Bono? So the Mishnah implies, the Pasuk implies, he has the right to make a tavor to administer the money where he wants. So that's the institution of tavor is derived from that post.
How do we take a Tishnai? First look at all the money that he has, and then they divide it up into Tishnai. They all first take off the UJA and the Federation, and then we work the remaining, and then we...
First you have to take off what's not going Beirush.
Yeah.
Whatever is not Beirush, it doesn't count. One question is how... how binding is this tzavor that he wants to give to tzedakah? That's what we have to discuss.
Not Yerusha to his son, with anything not to his son.
Right. Has to be b'taras kinyan. Whatever he gives to others has to be b'taras kinyanim. And the only time he gets pishnayim You get Tishnai from the Chelek that goes Birushim. You have to figure out what's going to Birushim, what's going to Matana. So the question is, what do you mean Hatarat Nasan Shush Lavan Chalachomish Yirtza? I can write into my will, I want to give to my dear cousin, and I have an uncle, and I have a son-in-law, I want to give him more money because he sits and he learns and whatever. Exactly what are the limits over here? So the Mishnah and the Gemara have it very restricted. Very, very restricted. This din of Rabbi Yechiman Breik and the Mishnah Kuflam and Alt is very restricted. First of all, the Gemara says it only applies when a fellow is a Shrid Neiraz. Hoy B'yom Anchil Azbanav does not apply when he's a Bari. When a guy is 50 years old, my sister-in-law told me a couple of years ago that when her father-in-law was a big Rosh Hashiva, when her father-in-law reached the age of 50, that he made a Tavor. So she thought it was horrifying. Why? He's planning to die? He's already in his 70s now. Why was he planning to die? Why did he make a Tavor? So I told her that it says in Achrenu like that. When you reach the age of 50, you're supposed to make a Tavor, even though you're perfectly healthy. So the Shaila is, but the Gemara says that it has no tokef. Hoy B'yom Hanchila Azbanav, the Gemara says, means on that day as a Halfaishtav. Doesn't mean he's a ghost day, but it means that he's a shchid meirah. We know that there is a din dibre shchid meirah kiktuvim lechim surim domen. That's only a din mid the rabbanon. That's not a din mid the That's a din mid the rabbanon. He says like this: I'm a shchid meirah, and I have sons and I have daughters, and I say that the tape recorder and the furniture and the building and whatever I have, all the svarim, give it to Pliny and Gamson, in a different person. So that's only a takana the rabbanon that kiktuvim lechim surim domen. But if I say the din ben rabbanon, I have, let's say, I have 5 daughters and 3 sons, so the din is only the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters don't get the Yerusha. If I have no sons, then the daughters get the Yerusha. So I pick out from the sons. So the din is, and none of my sons are poor. My firstborn is a daughter. So I have 3 sons, I should divide, I have $1 million, but let's have, make it easy, I have $3 million, and I have to teach in YU, there's only, I have $3 million, and I have 3 sons, so each son gets $1 million. So if I say, well, one son seems to be more interested in learning than the other. The guy's going to go into business, he's going to make his own $25 million. This guy's going to sit and learn, he's not going to make so much money. Instead of giving $1 million to each son, I want to give $2 million to one son. And the other million should be divided among the other two sons. So that's what Rabbi Yechiman Breuker says. The Yom HaNchilu is Bono of Eis HaShiyah Allah. L'chol Mishayirta is not exactly L'chol Mishayirta, the Lashon. The Mishnah says Ben Ben Abanim or Baz Ben Abanim. So if he has 3 sons, so they should really each get equally. So I say, no, I want that he should get more. So I have a right to do that. I have, let's say, I have no sons, let's say I would only have 5 daughters. So I have a right to say, instead of the 5 daughters dividing equally, this daughter should get much more than the others because she's married to a Tanakh. So I want her, he's going to need more money, or his money is going to be used for better purposes. So that I have a right to do, but if I have 5 daughters and 3 sons, I can't say I want the daughters to get equal Yerusha with the sons. The daughters are not aligned to get a penny of the Yerusha now, so I can't expand on it. The Mishnah says explicitly, it only applies the Ben Ben Abanim, or Baz Ben Abanim, if the daughters are first in line to get the Yerusha. I can't give to a cousin, or to a friend, or to any outsider. And the Gemara expands, limits it further, on Kuflam and Alakam. And the Gemara says that the Tzavah only works when the fellow is a Shchid Mirah, that's Hakona the Rabbanim, Dibbe Shchid Mirah. Kiksuv and the Surin Dami was instituted called the Tikkur Rabbanon, came the Raisa Tikkun. It's patterned after a Din Deraisa a little bit. The Hainu, this Din Deraisa, Rabbi Yechiman Breuker, that we passed from like, that on the day that the father is a Shchimera, Shchimera doesn't mean it's a Geisit. Geisit means that his mamish, his death is imminent within the next 3 days. That's how it's described in the Shulchan Aruch. As long as we have ghosts and things who live on machines, live on respirators and whatever, with oxygen, so they live longer than 3 days. But theoretically, the Gemara says, the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch says that a ghost cannot live for more than 3 days. The Shchimera means the person who is Mutal Lemishko. No, this is a Din Deraisa. Divrei Shchimera is only a Takana de Rabbana. This is a real Din Deraisa. So this Din Deraisa, the Din Rabbana is an extension of this Din Deraisa. The Din Deraisa. Ben Ben Abanim or Baz Ben Abanim. So let's say he has no children at all, but and his closest relatives are cousins. He has 8 cousins. One over there, 3 in Israel, whatever. So he can say, I want to leave all the Yerusha to that cousin. I want to leave half the Yerusha to that. Instead of leading 1/8 to each one of the 8 cousins, then I want to leave half of the Yerusha, a third of the Yerusha. So that, if the whoever is in line to get Yerusha, then cover course, I can say, I want him to get a little more. So that's Rabbi Yechiman Breuker is this. So Dafke Ben Ben Abanim, if he's in line to get a Yerusha, he can make him get more than he should have been entitled to, and it's only when he's a Shchid Meirah. But if the guy's not a Shchid Meirah, makes it Tavor, like the Achrim said, the age of 50, he's not holding by dying at all. He's not even sick, Mutal Mishko. Or he wants to give to a Tzok, he wants to give to a friend, or a distant relative, a cousin, not someone who's in line to get a Yerusha. Anyway, for the Mishnah, the din of Tavor, their rights will not apply. So the question is, how is it binding at all? If the fellow happens to be a Shechid Meira and he makes a Tzavor that he wants to give to some extraneous person, okay, so then you have the Takon of the Rabban. Everything goes. But people don't wait to make their will till a Shechid Meira. They make the will before the age of 50. Now the lawyers recommend you make the will before the age of 50. Because of other reasons. Because of custody of the children. Who's going to raise the children and stuff? You have to write in your will, young people who have children have to write in their will, whom they, if and when they die, whom they want to raise the children. Otherwise, the state's going to decide which yeshiva to send them to. Who knows? Don't send them to any yeshiva necessarily. So the question is, if the fellow doesn't make the will, then he's a shechid meiras, and neither the din derais nor the din derabbanan apply. So may the time should the will have any tokus whatsoever? Shouldn't have any tokus at all. So the answer is, well, there's another din. The Gemara has a din mitzvah l'kaya in divrei ames. Mitzvah l'kam divrei ames applies, certainly applies in the area of din mamas. The question is whether it applies in other areas. Let's say I say to my son, look, yingalei after I die, make sure I want you to learn maseches chagigah for the first year of son. That's not meaning I'm going to have to learn maseches chagigah for the first year of son. So after I die, the kid decides he doesn't want to learn chagigah. He wants to learn Baba Basra. He wants to learn Maktas, whatever, biggest boy. He wants to learn Mishnah, whatever. So that's a big deal in Akron. Do you apply Divrei Shechina, do you apply Mitzvah, the Kam Divrei Ames, to anything outside of Dina Mominus? Because the Gemara, you only have it in the area of Dina Mominus. And the Midrashim comments when Yankis was about to die and he left the Tavoy, that you shouldn't bury me in Mitzrayim, bury me in Eretz Yisrael. So the Midrash says, Mikan Shem Mitzvah, the Kam Divrei Ames. So that Midrash implies that you send Mitzvah, the Kam Divrei Ames, and anything that's within reason. I'm going to say, after I die, go shoot the administrators of Sheen University and burn down the building. Of course, you don't send this to the Kandavay. Comes if he has something reasonable that has a shaitas with him. But Dina Mamanus, that's clear in the Gemara. That's clear in the Gemara that you apply this to the Kandavay. So usually it's assumed that when a person makes a Tavoy before he's a Shri Meira, it's not binding based on the din deraita of Tavoy, of Hatel Nosan Shush Lahabraham. So it's not binding based on the din of Divrei Shechid Meira, but it's binding based on Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames. The problem is that Tosfos says not so. Tosfos in Gittin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph has kashes. If you say there's a din of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames, if it's in the Mishnah in Gittin is difficult, and there's Gemara in Baba Basra that is difficult. The Gemara says that people said, after I die, give the money to so on, give the money to this one, to that one. So what was the problem? Why don't they just say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames? So Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan that you only apply this cloud mitzvah to the Kam Divrei Ames, it is Hushlash Mitzchila Lekaf, Biyad Sholosh. It means like this, Hushlash Mitzchila Lekaf, Biyad Sholosh. I have $1 million in my pocket. Not that I have the money in the bank and I tell you that if and when I die, give $1 million to this person because he wants to open up a new yeshiva and buy a sukkah. I give you $1 million now. I don't want to give him $1 million because I may live on for another 220 years. So I want to use the money. I give you $1 million now. And I say, this is my money. In case I die, I give the money to Pliny, then he should make a yeshiva there. In case I don't die, you give me back the money every year when I ask you for the money. So the Hushlash Mitzchilim Lekach, the Yad Sholosh, Sholosh means a third party whom I trust, on Adam Namor. If I mashlish the money, Mitzchilim Lekach, Lashen Kach. Now let's say if you are my, I have a business, and you sit at the cash register, and you're in charge of all the money. You work for me, and you put the money, you control all the money. Instead of holding the money in my pillow and my mattress are stuffed already. So I tell you, you take all the money from the business, my money, you stuff it in your mattress. So the money is in your house for me. You're ashamed of me. And then later on I say, you know what? He has a good idea to make a yeshiva. If I die, give him the money. So that takes us to say that's no good. There wasn't Hushlash Mitzchila L'Shemka. I say Hushlash Mitzchila. If it's in my bank and I say, when I die, give it away, you don't apply Mitzchila Kandemates. And even if it's not in Tachas Yodi, it's Tachas Yod Chor. I tell you what to do also not. Only if Hushlash Mitzchila L'Kah. That's not the right for me. More about. Only if I gave the money for that specific purpose. It isn't. I say, even when I die, give it away to play. So that's the question. When we make out wills today, the last two, three centuries, people make out wills. You don't give the money over. You leave your money in your business and your savings account, whatever. You don't give the money over to anybody. So the money is not Hushlash Mitzchila L'Kah. And the Shulchan Aruch says that we pass in our love. I like that Tosfos in Gittin. So the whole din of Mitzvah L'Kah Divrei Ames shouldn't apply either. So there's a tshuva in the Binyan Tzion. Binyan Tzion has two halakim. First chelik and the second chelik. Second chelik is called the Binyan Tzion. Tshuva is Binyan Tzion HaChadosha. Tshuvas in the second chelik, as often as the case, are not as strong as the tshuvas in the first chelik. It's often the case. Most of the time that's the case. The person writes a few volumes of Shalosh HaTshuvas, so usually the first volume is the best. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes when people mature to their latest form are stronger than them. The Bin Yitzchak HaKadosh is in Simen Chav Dalet, in the second Chelek, he has a tshuva, very awkward tshuva. I'm not sufficiently familiar with the sefer. I think in the before Simen Chav Gimel, or before Simen Chav Beis, in the Binyan Sion, they have in tiny letters that the rest of the tshuvas in the sefer are not halacha lemaisa, they're not that reliable because the author didn't check them over or something like that. I don't know exactly what it means. Only on that tshuva and tshuva chav beis, but I think it says that from the tshuvas from here on, they're not too reliable. So he has this very awkward tshuva. Simcha chav dalet, he points out that not everybody agrees to that opinion. And Tosfos themselves have a list of that. There's a big fat in Gittin that the Gimel. There's only one answer in Tosfos. They only say mitzvah kandira meisav tushlus from tchilu lakat. But in the Tosfos in Bava Basra in Perek Yishameis, next to the last Perek in Bava Basra, Tosfos presents the same kasha that they asked in Gittin, and they give that answer, but then they give several other answers. And there, in Bava Basra and Yishameis, the other Rishonim also discuss the topic, and many of them don't accept that answer of the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Binyan Tzion says he doesn't think that we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. We should paskin Allah that even if lo hushlish from Tzion Lekat is also good. But I mean, he doesn't think we paskin. We have a way to look how we paskin. Look in the Shulchan Aruch. We don't always have to look back and say, so the Shulchan Aruch says, no, not like this. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in Chayish Mish, but you only say it to the Kandir Ameis, if Hushlash from Tzidu Lekah. But he stands on his head and he gives a whole pshat, that the Shulchan Aruch only means that it's a stake of the Dina, and it's the guy's Nukhzot, but it doesn't, it's really a Sufik. It's not a Vadai. But Hapel is Sufik, it's a Sufik. So again, so the old man dies, and it wasn't Hushlash from Tzidu Lekah, and the money should be divided equally by the Yerushim, and then one outsider says, all the Yerushim are the Mukhzotim, and then one outsider says, this guy from Beit Gan said he wants $1 million to make his kolo, because I promised to give him the money, or whatever. So then they say, but it wasn't Hushlash from Tzidu Lekah. So again, why not say, I'm with the Chavei Olavarai, if it's a Sufik. Either it's a Vadai, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that you only apply Mitzvah to Kandir HaMeis and it's Hushlash, or the Binyan Tzion makes it that it's a Sufik, so it's a Sufik, so Blad Matzotim. So again, say, I'm with the Chavei Olavarai. So what did he accomplish? How did he write that since it's only a Sufik, so maybe the din is that you do say it to the Kandir HaMeis and it's low Hushlash. So again, how do you take it away from it? But it doesn't read straight. That Shuvah doesn't read. There's a Shuvah Nachiezer. The Chaim Oizah has a Shuvah. He will often quote things from the Binyan Tzion. This Shuvah he ignores. I'm not sure, you have to check. I'm not sure. I know he quotes from the Binyan Tzion from the first Chelek. I don't know if he ever quotes from the second Chelek. Could be he didn't have the Chadash. Possibly. But this Shuvah he doesn't quote there. He just raises a different question in Nachiezer. He says, he used to think, he used to wonder, what is the definition of Hushlash from Tchila Lekah? Maybe making a secular will should be the equivalent to Hushlash from Tchila Lekah. Hushlash from Tchila Lekah may mean the following, that if I give you $1 million and I say, look, if and when I die, I want you to give this money to Pliny. That means that I gave you complete control over this money. If it was low Hushlash from Tchila Lekah, the money is in my bank, then you have to go get the money from the bank and go schlep and go decide to give it in. So he writes, maybe to make a secular will, which the secular government will insist on following, maybe that should be the equivalent of Hushlash from Tchila Lekah, because there's nothing anybody you can scream and dance. The children can scream since April next year, the government is going to give the money away to these guys and buy it again, because I wrote in my will, that's what I want. So maybe whenever you make a secular will, that should be the equivalent of Hushlash from Tchila Lekah, even though in the Tzias he didn't give over the money. But he says, he writes that he was thinking about the idea for many, many years, and he doesn't think that it's right. He doesn't think that it's right. That's what he writes in Achiezer. He doesn't think that it's right. Then there's a collection, Achiezer has three halachas. So far. Someone from the family is going to, from a Chaim Oizer family, I think one of the Kosovskis, from the Kosovski family is going to publish a fourth chelek of Achiezer with additional children. But before the fourth chelek comes out, there are two volumes that are printed in Bnei Brak that's called Kovit Digras Achiezer. By the same people who printed the Per Ador, the biography of the Chazon Ish, so the same people printed it. But these are, this has a biography. Here, one volume has a biography of Chaim Oizer. Not that extensive, less than 100 pages. And then the rest of the volume and a half, the rest of the two volumes are a collection of letters that Rabbi Chaim Oizer wrote. So some of the letters are about halachas. And some are about politics, and some are about brachas, and some are some different interesting letters that he wrote. So he has there a letter in the Kovet Igrus Achiezer. He has a letter about Tzavot. So in the letter that he wrote, somehow he ignores what he wrote in his Tshuva. The Tshuva he wrote that he thought about it for a long time, and he was noted to say that Nitzvah the Kandiv Emes does not apply. And here he writes that he thinks maybe it does apply. Nitzvah the Kandiv Emes should apply when you make a secular will. But then he writes, but that's of course only valid if they go to Dintayra later on. The guy from Beit Dagan goes to Bezin Shal Yisrael. Bezin Shal Yisrael looks in his will and they say that that was his request. And Bezin Paskin, that we have to observe his wishes and we have to give the $1 million to the guy who wants to found the yeshiva. But if they go to, that's pretty right. That's of course only the mitzvah of the Kandiv Emes doesn't happen automatically. Rav Yechon Ben Breik is in Atarad Asun Shus Lav Lahan Chalachol Misha Yerut. That happens automatically. The father says, when he's a Shechid Meirah, the father says that when I die, I don't want my three sons to get $1 million each. The one who sits and learns, he should get $2 million, and the other two should get $500,000 each. And then the father dies the next day. He was a Shechid Meirah, dies the next day. So then you'll say that the din derech happens automatically. They don't have to go to a din Torah that the bezin has to pass. The din Torah is chal automatically. The din derabbanan also is chal automatically. It's considered as if they made a kinyan. So even if at the time that the father is a shchimer, he says that you should give $1 million to the guy from Beit Dagan who's not related at all. Then he dies and tells us holy. He dies before he comes out of that sickness. Also, that's a kinyan. That's chal automatically. But this din mitzvah, the kandi rameis, is a mitzvah. That's if you don't. The Rabbanah. No, it's assumed it's not a din derech. So the Medrash comments on the pasuk by Yankov Levin and Parshas Vayechi. Mikan shemitzvah the kandi rameis. Yankov left the tzavot. What good is it? What good? He can make a tzavot from the day to the next. He has no tokif. So this pasuk we derive mitzvah the kandi rameis. But the Meforshim on the Medrash say that it's only on Asmachtim and the Rabbanah. It's not really a din derech. So the Taisus says in Baba Basra, that's that Taisus that give the other answers on all the kashas that they had in Gittin. They say, yeah, there's a din mitzvah that can't be made, but it's only a mitzvah. It's not that the din moment is nikna automatically. The moment the father dies, it automatically belongs to the guy from Beit Dagan. It's a mitzvah. So Rav Chaim is right. Yeah, you know, just make a secular will. The mitzvah is there, possibly. And they have to go to Bezin Shal Yisrael. And if they'll say you should give the money over, then you have to give it over. So Dayan Groshner has in his Chudas, Lei Varye. Dayan Groshner used to be a dayan in London Bezin. And he retired about 10 years ago, I think, now 5-10 years ago, I lived in Jerusalem. An interesting thought. So he writes in his sefer in Chelik Beis and Leigarye, he says, from the Lashon of Rav Chaim Leizer, it would appear that if they'll go to a secular court and the secular court will award the money to this fellow based on the will, that he won't have this fellow won't have the right to take the money. It's only if the Bezin Shal Yisrael will implement the tzavur of the old man. That's the way the Lashon sounds, Rav Chaim Leizer's Lashon. The question is, why should that be so? It's very strange. Why does he insist on Shmita HaBezin Shal Yisrael? There's a mitzvah kandiv rameis. It has to be that the Bezin should be kofed them ala mitzvah. If the Bezin Shal Nachum is kofed ala mitzvah, is no good. But Lama Yisrael, they were kofed that they should do the mitzvah. Okay. If the Bezin Shal Goyim is kofed a man to give a get to his wife, then the Mishnah says that it's no good. Unless the secular court beats the guy up and they put him in prison, whatever they penalize him, they say, I say, Masha Bezin Shal Yisrael, Omim Lachor. They say, you have to give a get like the Jewish court requires of you. But then the Mishnah says that it'll be good. But if they say, we want you to give your wife a get, and then you give the wife a get, then the Mishnah says in that it's no good. Because a get needs midaito, a get has to be given midata ba. If the secular court forces, it's called a get bar kochel. If the guy didn't want to give a get, and the secular court pressures him into giving a get to his wife, so that'll be a get bar. Unless they'll force, they'll say to the husband, we want you to follow what the Bezin Shal Yisrael says. I'll say, Master Bezin Shal Yisrael Anadoch. Then it's called Makanos Hashem right time. Then it's good. But what's wrong with the Bezin Shal Goyim, if the Yaakoyas, if the secular court forces the Jewish people to follow the mitzvah of Kandi Rameis? What's this? Let's say the Bezin Shal Goyim forced the Jews to shake a lulav. He says, not Yaisi the lulav. You should go. They forced the Jews to shake a lulav on Kudus. They say, it's not Yaisi. Why? You need that. Balkocha is no good. You don't need that. There's no Din Balkocha. Not yet Kavanah Shalom, let's say. But if it didn't have Kavanah Shalom, let's say, what should be wrong? What's wrong? This is the Kandi Rameis. It has to be Dafke. If they do it on their own, or if the Jewish court forces, what's wrong with the Goyish court forces? I don't understand. But that's what Dayan Groshner points out. Rav Chaim Leizer, it sounds like he says that. I don't understand fully why.
Even if the will works, because Mitzvah Kandiv Rameis is there, so I'm sorry, Father, to write a will change from destruction.
So that's the question. The Gemara has a clause Gemara in Yesh Na'ekuna says you're not permitted to be Mabe Nakra from your children, even the Brua Bisho, the Brua Taba, even from a bad son to a good son. Gemara tells a story that Yonis and Menizil, I think, lived with Man Abayis, lived in the days of the Beit HaMikdash, and he Yonis and Menizil was a Talmud of Hillel. He lived in the days of the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara says his son wasn't that observant, and he decided son doesn't deserve the money of Yerusha. Somebody also taught him why you had $3 million to give Yerusha. And he gave all of his money away to the Beit HaMikdash, and the Gemara says all the time I'm angry at him, that even if it's Mibroa Bisha, the Broa Tab, even from a bad son to a good son, you're not allowed. That it's not proper. There's a Shiloh, what it means from a bad son to a good son. Let's say the son is not observant. Okay, so then you're not allowed to take away. But what if the son is mean to me? He curses the father and he's never respectful and he never comes to visit, not Father's Day, not Mother's Day, never. He lets me die and then he puts me in a nursing home, not even that, whatever. Maybe then there's no Aveira to be Mabinat. It's a deal and you have to look in Chayshin Ishma. That's a shy ending. But the Gemara says that it's not permissible to be Mabinat. It's a violation, the violation of the spirit of the law of the Torah to be Mabinat. And the Gemara says, even if you're not the father certainly violates the Aveira. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to assist an individual who wants to be Mabinatla by signing to his will. This guy says he wants to be Mabinatla. And I try to explain to him that it's not proper. And he says he's going to do it anyway. He's going to do it anyway. What's the difference? Whether I sign or someone else signs? The Gemara says, no. You're not allowed to help out the fellow to be Mabinatla. You shouldn't even sign to his will. So that's the question. Is there a violation?
Is there a
He might have said it is Tal. Yeah. Well, it depends. If he made it when it was a Shchei Merah, then sometimes it will be Haman Atar, sometimes Haman the Rabban. He made a secular will, so then some say that that's called Rosh Mishin Tzidah Lekach. Whenever he made it in such a way, he's Magdashit, then it will be Tal. He's Machin it away, then it certainly will be Tal. So if the fellow accomplished in a legal fashion, I'll say Allah, he made a Noit Gehalten, in a Noit Gehalten fashion, way for Tzidah more than one-fifth of his assets. He's not allowed to give more than one-fifth. So the Gemara says, Hanamina Mechaim, Avalachamitsi, he may give away to Tzedakah more than one-fifth. So the question is, what do you mean, Lachamitsi, he can give away more than one-fifth? Because the whole reason why he shouldn't give away more than one-fifth is because Shiloh Yayani be Tzarech Labriyas. He's giving away so much Tzedakah, he's going to go broke, and then he'll have to take Tzedakah. So what is it? What's the Chachma? What is he accomplishing by giving Tzedakah to the others to make those poor people rich? He's going to become poor, so they'll have to give him back the stuff. So he shouldn't give more than one fifth. But if you're holding by dying, so that's the end. So you're not going to need the money anymore. The children, let them break their heads. Just like you had to break your head there in their living, so let them break their heads. You're not obligated. So the Gemara says in Ksubis that Lachamisa, you may give away the stuff and more than one fifth. So how does this fit with the other Gemara in Baba Basra that says you're not allowed to be Mavanach? So the sum of the answer is, it depends. If you give everything away to the Beis HaMikdash, then it's a violation. If you give a little bit away, instead of giving one-fifth, if you give two-fifths, then there's not a violation. So the question is, where do you draw the line? How much are you permitted to give away to the duck, and how much are you not permitted to give? So it's interesting, just 2 months ago, Rabbi Yisrael Miller was asked to shout about Balabas. A very wealthy Balabas wanted to leave in his will a fortune of money to Yeshiva University. And his wife said, but no, isn't that against the Jewish tradition? Not allowed to be Mavan Nachla from your children. The children were also millionaires. He was a multi-millionaire. His father was a multi-millionaire. So the Shiloh was. So the father asked Rabbi Miller, he wants to give the yeshiva as much as they'd like to have from him. But his wife says that we're Orthodox people, so we don't want to violate the laws of the Torah. So how much is he allowed to give the yeshiva, he'll give. Whatever he's not allowed to give, he doesn't want to give out there. So the Pesachei Tshuva and Choshen Mishpat Simei Reish Pei Beis quotes the different opinions on it. So he quotes, Miktsois starts the discussion. Miktsois quotes the Tshuva Tagoyim. That if you leave 4 dinrim, good enough. 4 dinrim is enough. You leave $5 for your son. If you leave $1.50 for your children, where they dig up the 4 dinrim is a Mishnah and Ksubas. That the Ksubas has been indifferent, the Takonas HaChachama, Ksubas has been indifferent, only applies if it's not Oikel Lagamri, the whole Yerusha. If at least there'll be a little money that will still be divided the Yerusha amongst the children. But if there won't be any money divided amongst the children, mitam the Yerusha deraita, then Ben Indifferent doesn't take effect. Ben Indifferent means that if I had more than one wife, so let's say one wife had 3 children from one wife and 1 child from the other wife. So whatever money the wife brought into the marriage, whatever nedunya she brought into the marriage, I have to give back to her children after she dies. So you don't say that I now have all the money and the money is now divided amongst all the children equally. Whichever grandfather, let's say the girl's father, gave me so much money when we got married, I have to make sure that money goes back to his grandchildren, because if not, so I won't give it back. So he won't want to give the money in the first place, because he's afraid I'm marrying myself another wife. And $1 million that he gave his daughter when she married me will go to some other person's children. He's not interested in giving money to other children. He wants to give to his daughter and to his son and to his grandchildren. And the daughter's going to die, he wants to go to his grandchildren, not to go to someone else's children. The Gemara says that's the reason for Takanas Benin Dichon. So the Benin Dichon works as if it's a Din Yerusha. So the Mishnah says in the Ketubah that the Din of the Benin Dichon only applies if it won't be Oki Yerusha Deraisa. So the Gemara says, how much Yerusha Deraisa do you have to have? A Futa, a Shavu Futa? The Mishnah says, no, if you have four Dinrim that are divided among the Yerushim, the Din Yerusha Deraisa, that's sufficient. So the Ketubah quotes there, Reish Pei Beis, that the Goinim they write in their Ketubahs, that if this multi-millionaire has $100 billion in the bank, he can leave everything to the yeshiva. He leaves over $10 to his children, whether they're poor or rich, does not. Leaves over $10 to children, that's sufficient. Other parts can disagree, and they say, no, you have to leave over a roof to your children. You can only give away to tzedakah, or to give away to friends and relatives, whatever. You can only give away up until 50%, 49%. But you have to give slightly more than 50%, you should leave over to your children. If I'm not mistaken, in the introduction to the Sfarim Gesha HaChayim by Rabbi Chaim Lichot Tikhachinsky, the introduction was written by the son, I think. So he writes that his father wrote all the dinim of Avelus, and included in the Sfarim Gesha HaChayim is what you're supposed to do when a person is about to die when he's a Goyse. So he says, and when his father was about to die, he followed all of his own stocking. The father followed all of the things that he wrote in his own sefer. So he says, when he was about to die, I don't think he was such a rich man either. He didn't teach in YU. So the father left the tzavua that they should leave so much money for tzedakah. He calculated exactly how much money he had, and he gave 49% away to tzedakah, and 51% he was going to leave the Yerusha, because he held halacha that goes poskim, that he has to leave 51% to the children. Then he told him to open the window, he's about to stop, and so on. All the other things that he has in his state, what he's supposed to do, the chance, and the person is a geiter, so he told his son, do this, do that, as if he were reading from his own state, and poskim. He held from his state. And then the third opinion is that Chasam Sofer is Shuvah that Rav Moshe, and his Sefer holds like that, Chasam Sofer, Rav Moshe, and the left Igros Moshe, and Chelek Kosher Mishpat, thinks that Chasam Sofer is right. That it doesn't really make sense to four Dinrim, it's in the middle of nowhere, even though it's Taka the Goinim, it's very difficult Shuvah. And he doesn't think that the 51% makes sense either. If he turns from a multi-millionaire, the 51% is going to be a fortune of money. If I'm a pauper, 51% could be a nickel. So what's that, the 51% Ruba Kukula? He said, Ruba Kukula, he said, did I get Yerusha? So Rav Moshe thinks that the Chasam Sofer is really right. That if you leave a matana habuna to your children, you leave them a significant amount of money, so then there's no violation of Avuriyah Hasan to give the rest to anybody else. Then Rav Moshe goes ahead to give a whole calculation of having these tshuvas. Could be, I don't know.
So we accepted the lesson from my mother. What was done before?
Very strange. The religious Jews for many, many years have not been making tzavuos oyzi halach al pi din. Many religious Jews just make a will with a lawyer following secular law, and they don't follow up in halacha. So the question is, what tokif does that will have? Apti pashtus, the will is gomish. Abi Pashtus has no validity at all. So the question is, how is it? So Chaim Moshe in the Igros, in his Tshuva, he says he thinks it's nothing. In the Igros, he tries to do Yashiv, the Minuka Olam, which was that the religious people just made a secular will. So he thinks, well, maybe they really hold that this is called Hushlash Mitzvah Lekach. But then even then, he thinks that it's only going to be acceptable if the Bezna Shoy Tzol will enforce it later. Neither of which part I understand. I don't understand what kind of a character does he hold that it's not always gone. And then he said, why should he insist that's what it doesn't show? So I don't understand.
What does the Jewish Sabbath do that the secular will
not? Sabbath just said, that's what I have to explain. So Moshe has another mahalach.
What about insurance?
He originally took out insurance and he wrote where he wants the money to go. That's certainly who Shish Mitzchilo Lekach. No? When Lachatchila he pays in the money, he says Lachatchila where he wants the money.
He doesn't know how much he's going
to
get in the end.
I would assume that that's certainly Hushlish Mitzchilo Lekach. He invested the money to Miyuchad for that purpose, to give it to his wife, or to give it to the children after he died, to give it to Pliny after he died. I would think that everybody would agree that that is Lishma
Shem Kodesh.
If
people don't dispute, agree about the issues of the will,
that's okay. Well, the father leaves the will, he wants that. If no one disputes, it's not very nice that they should follow his wishes. The question is, if the one who loses to stand the money disputes it, he wants the money. He does not give it to Yeshiva University. He wants to go to find bliss. So, yeah, right?
There is no either from none of the children are arguing for
that. No. That is not true. That is not true. Rav Moshe has another mahalach. In the middle of a tshuva, in Chelek Eben Ezra, the first Chelek Eben Ezra, Siman Kuf Dalet, here you find it on page 11, in the Dayan Grosnas' tshuva, on the bottom of the page. He quotes Rav Moshe's tshuva in Igros Moshe Eben Ezra, Siman Kuf Dalet, and Hagoyen Ha'adu Har, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says, what tokev is a secular will? So Rav Moshe comes up with a new answer, which is none of the above, a different mahalach. That we know, you learn in the yeshivas that you come across every so often the Gemara has a situation where someone is makdim mamon to somebody else and no ma'aseh kinyan is needed. That is the Gemara in Choyres on Daf Yud Gimel, and the Gemara in the end of Baba Basra in Beit Kur, and various Gemaras all over the place. So the Chazanish has a collection, the Chazanish quotes his father, who made a collection of all these Gemaras. The Rashash and Choyres Daf Yud Gimel has a collection of these various Gemaras. Different Achronim has. The Rav Moshe has in his sefer also in Eben Ezra. Here in the sources on page 11, it's in Leiv Aryeh, in the Tshuva of Dayan Grossman, on the bottom of the second column. So he quotes the Reis of the Sefer Igros Moshe. The last paragraph on the bottom of the second column.
Last paragraph?
Right. The Reis of the Sefer Igros Moshe. This page is page 11. In the top right hand corner, it says page 11. So if you look there in the Igros Moshe, I didn't see like that, he comes up with a new suggestion of why it should be binding. That we have so many different Gemaras that indicate that whenever there's a strong Gemara's Das, so then a Kinyan occurs without any Maisa Kinyan. So if the fellow writes in his will and he gives it to the lawyer and he knows that this is absolutely, it definitely will be followed by the court, and there's no two ways about it. They're not going to cancel that will, they're not going to ignore it. So Rav Moshe says, "Ein l'chol gemiras das dola mizu," and we have so many different mekaris in the Gemara that indicate that whenever there's a full gemiras das, then you can accomplish a kinyan without any ma'aseh kinyan. So even if I have all these children of mine, and I say I want all the money to go to Pliny, somebody on Gansan, not my son, and I'm not a shemira, and it wasn't hushmash mitzvah lekach, and nothing applies, none of the dinim in the Gemara apply. But once you make a secular will, it's so baruch Hashemish b'tzaran that it's going to be followed. So there's a perfect mirror. Zas, and that itself accomplishes the Chaloyta Kinyan without a Maisa Kinyan. But the question is, but he writes in his will that I bequeath, I leave after I die, I leave this to Pliny. So he says he leaves it after he dies, so that's Ein Kinyan LaHamisa. So what good is that? Why has a cloud? You can say, fine, you can accomplish the Chaloyta Kinyan without a Maisa Kinyan whenever there's a strong, perfect mirror Zas, but the Kinyan can't take place after Misa. So Moshe Tuzo Tachirish. When you say Ein Kinyan LaHamisa, that's if I'm going to die 9 o'clock in the morning, and my money goes birusha to my children, and I want the Kinyan to take place at 9:30 in the morning. But if I say I want the minute that I die, and the mama no longer belongs to me, I want that mama to belong to somebody else, and it goes from me to him, then it's tutu fachirish that you say Yesh Kinyan LaHamisa. So that's what Dayan Grosnas writes, that that's very, very difficult.
So what if you say, I want the teenagers to get it when they're 18?
And he dies before they're 18,
yeah.
Then Rav Moshe will say it's no good. Then it won't be good. Then you'll have to, we'll get to the next step. How do you accomplish that?
I'll have to say there's no state.
But even Rav Moshe said it's also very difficult. That's what Dayan Grosner writes on page 12. He says, V'chara divra agven tzrichan biur, then he de la bina ma'itikinyi, yesh kan gemir zaas mochlet, is li ma'itikinyi, fine, that's okay. Avol, inki nila hamisa, so Moshe's suggestion that when it goes directly from me to the other person, then there's no violation of inki nila hamisa, there's a tzilek loin. There's a tzilek loin, it's against the Gemara. So all the Gemara that discuss inki nila hamisa are talking about that. That's the meduber in the Gemara, that it should go directly from me to the other person. Not talking that there should be a break of a half an hour or a day or two. And even when it goes directly, it's still no good. So the pashtus is that Rav Moshe's suggestion also is not going to help. So the question is, if you don't accept any of the above, so how can it be that people just make wills and they assume that the money goes to Yerusha to that person? So some suggest that Dina Machlus Adina. That's how the Maharit Sahalon has in his tshuva. There was a Maharitat, And there was a Maharitsa alone. These are two different people. He's not the Maharitat. The Maharitat is Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak, who was the Rav in Constantinople. This is a different person. This Maharitsa alone was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. He lived in Tzfat in the 1550s. He became famous as a young man, as a teenager. He became famous when he gave him, when he wrote his knockout shuva on Hilchos Chalitza, because the Beis Yosef had three sons. And the Beis Yosef's son was married to Rav Chaim Vital's sister, whose name was Simcha Vital, a girl's name. Oh, yes, usually a boy's name. Sorry. So the Beis Yosef's son died, and he left no children. So the wife had to have either Chalitza or Yibum. So the brother who was going to do Yibum already had a wife. He wanted himself another wife. He was inspired, he wanted to marry another wife. And the girl's father, Rav Chaim Vital's father, that he doesn't want his daughter to be second fiddle. He doesn't want his daughter to be a second wife. He wants chalitza. He said he wants Yibum. She wants chalitza. It was going on, I think, for 2 years. They were fighting about that chalitza Yibum. So somebody gave the girl an aid to what to do to force the husband to give chalitza. So she went to shul on a Thursday morning, I think it was. She went to shul and she spit in front of him on the floor. The Gemara says, Yibama shirakka tachlos. The Gemara says that if the Yibama did part of the chalitza ceremony is that you do hasaras ha'amano, you have to recite the psukim and you have to do rikike, she has to sit. The Gemara says if the Yibama did rikike, that's part of the chalitza ceremony, but then it's already forbidden to do yibum, and then you have to do chalitza, you have no brera. So one of the rabbanim recommended that she should do rikike in front of everybody in shul, in front of the Beis Yosef's son, and this will force him to din. Now you're not allowed to do yibum, so what just to hold there is an aguna? You can't do yibum bein kavakot, there's nothing to discuss. But then they're going to force him to give chalitza. So there's a big machlokes. All the rabbanim from Tzfat were tumlin, the rabbanim from Yerushalayim were tumlin, gitumlin, and they all said that he wrote the knockout shuva then, I think at the age of 17 or 18, and the Al-Sheikh, he showed it to the Al-Sheikh, and the Al-Sheikh said he was right. The Al-Sheikh also lived in Tzfat. He was from the Zikni rabbanim, and he said he was right, and even though he was right, that the whole leitzah was wrong, that they had no right to force him to give the chalitza, the one who was the rav then, these were Talmid HaChacham, they weren't officially the rabbi in Tzfat. The Desmond Tzfat forced the guy to do the chalitza. And then after he gave the chalitza, they were still fighting whether the chalitza was good or not. There's a whole literature now.
Who went to the
Yibama. The Almana.
She was the one who didn't want.
She wanted to have chalitza. Her father told her she should have chalitza. She wanted it to be in public. The guy said, do it in public so everybody, he won't be able to deny that the rikika was wrong. So they have tshuvas and all the contemporaries at that time. So this Maharitza alone was a colorful individual. So he has a tshuva where he discusses dina de malchus dina with respect to tzavot. On page 15 in the sheet. This is in the new edition of Tshuvas Maharitza Alon HaKadosh, the standard tshuvas that printed. And this is the Machon Yerushalayim edition that has the additional tshuvas that are printed from Ksav Yad. So he writes that there were many communities where they insisted that you follow Dina the Mafusa with respect to Yerusha. That's what all the Jews in America, that's what all the Jews in Europe did in the last century also. They just made a secular will on the assumption that Dina the Mafusa Dina applies. The problem is that in the Shulchan Aruch it says that it doesn't apply. Here, take a look in page 16 in these sources, in footnote 24, where the publisher writes, Avinu Pasuk Bezek Kahori Vosh. I don't know what he has to quote the Knesset Gedolah Chevel the law to Harivosh. And nobody has to quote the Knesset Gedolah Chevel Toskim in the Shulchan Aruch proper, it says like that. We don't pass like this, Rivosh. You don't apply Dina the Machlus Adina when the Din Torah is between two Jews. Dina Machlus Adina only applies when it's between a Nachri and a Yisrael, or between two Nachri. But if there's no Nachri involved at all, it's talking everybody's Jewish. I'm Jewish, my children are Jewish, Jewish cause, everybody's Jewish. So what you have to say? If I want to leave my money to the Watch of Dimes, want to leave my money to the cat hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, or to the dog hospital in New York City? You want to leave to a non-Jewish court? So then you can say dinah machus dinah. Since one of the bali dinah is enough, he has the right to say I want to follow dinah machus. But if I'm leaving to a Jewish people, I'm Jewish and I die. I leave the money to Jewish people. My children are Jewish. And the guy wants to get the Yerusha. They're all Jewish institution. Everybody's Jewish. So if no one is enough, it's just the fairish in the Shulchan Aruch. You don't follow dinah machus dinah. In fact, the Rambam and Tesis in one place have an opinion that Yerusha is considered each of the Hefer. that you don't consider Yerusha Dinim on this. You know, it's only a matter of $1 million here or there. It's just an issue of dollars and cents. Often you should really say that it's called Dinim Amenis, and if it's Dinim Amenis, then you should possibly apply Dinim Achus to Dinim. Let's say according to the Rigosh, you apply Dinim Achus even if both parties are Jewish. That the Rambam has in Hilchos Nachlis and in Hilchos Ishus, he writes in both places, even though Yerusha is money, but still the Torah declares it as Isa Behet, because the Chumash says, V'hoisotos lechem l'chukat mishpat. And that's the parsha of Nachlis at the end of Chumash Bamidbar. So the Rambam says that it means this, even though it's mishpat, even though it's dinim amenis, but it's labeled as if it were chukah. I consider it as if it's Isa Behet, and therefore the Rambam says, even though we have a kalal. I don't treat Yerusha as a davish in a moment. I treat it like Isa Behet. It could well be that according to the Rambam view, it's not shaykh bechalal to apply even the machlus adina to Yerusha, even if one would follow the rigosh. Those posts will hold that it does apply between two Yisraelim, because it's like Yisra Behetta. So you don't apply even the machlus to the area of Yisra Behetta. Let's say, that was Rabbi Soloveitchik's story, the rough story that he told years ago. He once was traveling on the train from Boston to New York, and he met a Reform rabbi. So he was going to sit on the train for a few hours. So he started a conversation with the fellow. He's not going to sit and not talk to him. So he started to ask him, why don't they, he was angry at the Reform movement, why don't they insist on giving a get? They allow women to remarry without a get. Terrible. The violation of the Sinus and Aseret HaDikris and the Madam Amterim. It's all such a big problem that we have on our hands, all because of that. But he says, Rav said, the other rabbi told him, Rav Soloveitchik, I'm surprised to you. You don't know that we had a convention in the year 1918, whatever it was, and we voted at that time. We all decided to follow Dinah Machus Adina, the law of the land. The law of the land is we go to court and make a divorce. So Rav Soloveitchik said, but so why are you in the Sada Kiddushin? Why don't you just follow Dina Machusa? Why don't you just get married by the justice of the peace? So he said to him, Rav Soloveitchik, I'm surprised, you don't understand the difference when you're in the Sada Kiddushin. He said, bracha, obviously getting married is a mitzvah. So in the area of Isa Behetta, you don't apply Dina Machusa Dina, but when you give a get, you don't say any blessing. So that's a right that it's just a legality. It's not a mitzvah. So therefore, you have the right to follow Dina Machusa Dina. So the Rav pointed out that the principle that he said is correct. All the costs he said like that. You don't apply Dinim Machus in the area of Isa Behetta. It only applies in Dinim Amenis. But just the application is a little distorted over here. That there's no, even though a get may not be a mitzvah, true, you don't say a bracha, probably is not a mitzvah, somehow that it is a mitzvah, somehow you should say a bracha sometimes, but even if you say it's never a mitzvah, it's only a legality, but it's a legality in the area of Isa Behetta. It's not in the area of Dinim Amenis. And Dinim Machus Adina only applies in Dinim Amenis. That the Rambam writes La Halach and Hilchos Nachlis and Hilchos Ishus, and the Tesis and Tzidda Dachnun also writes like that in one place. Dachnun that Yerusha is labeled as Isa Behetta based on the drash of Oysas Lachem Chukas Mishpat, even though it's Mishpat, it has the status of Chukah. We treat it as if it were Isa Behetta. So then Mechlal Din and Mechlus Adina should apply. So he writes in the Chuvas Maritza alone that the Jews in various communities. He's telling me which communities here. He used to just make a secular will. And several times the Rabbonim in Kuste, give you some other communities, but they just followed the secular law. And he says they sent, he tells you which Rabbonim they sent. The Rabbonim from Tfas sent a committee, I forgot what page it is already, he says they sent a committee of several prominent Rabbonim to speak to the Balabatim there in this other community, Mallorca and other communities, that is Kineged Adin, that we don't follow Dina Machus Adina. And they didn't listen. And they didn't listen. So he's so at the end he tried to be Miyasha. Well, maybe they follow that opinion of the Rivosha to do apply Dinim Machus Adina. But Allah Lamais, it's not a Israel. So Lamais, now we have a problem. If we should, let me just review the problem. If the fellow is 50 years old or younger when he makes his will, and he's not a Shemira, so the Din Derais of Yaman Chilo doesn't apply, and Din Derabana of Yush Shemira doesn't apply either. Mitzvah the Kandira make Alpi Pasha doesn't apply because it's not Hushlash Mchilo Lekach either. Moshe Zayn found that the Kenyan can be Chal without a Maisi Kenyan because of the Gemurah Daf Mechletah, the Gemurah. It's also very difficult, it's not really acceptable because of the Kenyan King of Ahamisha. So we're left with nothing. And Dina Machus Adina also doesn't work, so you're left with nothing. Because the Shulchan Aruch tells you how you have to do it. Now we're up to the punchline. Yes?
If the government's rationale for the Dina Machus Adina is that they're worried that even with their children's having to be support, and they want to make sure that everybody gets the minimum amount of support, but you don't give your children, the government will have to support them from welfare. So that doesn't become a game of, you know,
Yeah, that you're not allowed to take away from your children. That's good, yeah.
But and it requires certain allocation among your children.
Okay.
You must give the daughters as well as sons. But the government doesn't want to have to support your daughters.
Ah, yeah, that could, okay. That would be fine in mitam.com. But to give an amount of money, to give a minimum amount of money.
Right.
But let's say to give a percentage of money, let's say I have daughters and I'm a multi-millionaire, but to say that the daughters have to get equal to the son, that's already a leutflug in Takana. I don't know if we would accept any leutflug in Takana Samadina.
Why would the dean of the itself work for the Ramam? Is this an
endurance,
so then how
can
the
dean of the
work?
No, but a Takana Samadina does work. Like Hefker doesn't have to work whenever, still has been indifferent. About Yerushas Ishtar. So the Gemara gives reasons why they felt compelled to institute about Yerushas Ishtar. So this is a good reason, so it's we'll the Tamadina, Tafan Tamadina, so they can change even in the area, you can even change in the area of the Imam. But just to rely on a secular will, let's say he's going to wake out of will, then he's leaving all of his money to Swaini or to such an institution. So then Lechoyre, that Imam Achos should not be followed. Abchamayzer writes in the Tshuva Hatzol HaKurta. In Achiezer, in the Tshuva, he writes a little bit. He says, when do you say that you need Hushlash Mitzchila Lekach? That's only if you're giving the money over to a private individual. But if you're giving the money to a Zaka, then he thinks that you don't need Hushlash Mitzchila Lekach. And he gives the Hushlash why he thinks not. Okay, so here for the problem is solved. That if people leave and they will, a guy makes the will when he's healthy. He's not even a Shlimei Raruo. He's nowhere near the time that it's a Shlimei. So if he makes the will to leave money, he says, Zaka. So that, Rav Chaim Moshe claims, would be binding based on Mitzvah the Kam Divrei Hametz, even though it wasn't Hushlash Mitzchila. Okay, but the question is, what if he writes in his will, so leaves to the daughter, so leaves to the wife, more than the Ksuvah? The Ksuvah you have to give. What if he gives more than the Ksuvah? That's the question. There is an interesting letter in the collection of letters. Those are the last two pages here. The book is called Shalat HaTshuvah Staf Nafaneh. It's not really Shalat HaTshuvah. Maybe what people used to send postcards to the Ragachov. Sadly, he's pulled over postcard. You mail a postcard and you flip it together. You mail a postcard to someone and he opens it up and he reads what you wrote and then he rips it apart on that perforation and then the postage is ready there and he sends it back. This guy was a very common thing, it's now they hardly have it anymore. He's a pulled over postcard. But the Ragachov used to get loads of postcards every day in the mail. And if he would have to pay for the postage, he was broke. He would have had to go into high. He was broke. So they always used to send them these double postcards. And everybody wanted to get a letter from the Rebbe Shem. That was the thrill of every yeshiva bought in Europe. They had to get a letter from the Rebbe Shem. So everybody would send them any kasha, a plus kasha or whatever. But if they send them a plus kasha, so he'd write down, you a moron, an idiot. He would write this yoinus. So everybody would try to write a good kasha. And even those who would check it out to make sure it's a good eyes in the kasha. That nobody, the best, the greatest gedolim would send them kasha. So he would write, Mayatri Deine Kroida Ayan Taisis Kachulin Taisis somewhere he has the kasha. So the Yogi used to try to check to make sure that nobody has the kasha, no rishon, the achronim wasn't familiar with, no rishon has the kasha, so it'll be a good kasha, so they would have to, he would write a letter with Zerachar. So this Shalat HaTshuvah Staf Nafaneh has a collection of the letters. Most of them are not halachamayim. They're kashas and learning, other things. Here somebody has the shayla. Halachamayim. Is it proper to follow Dina the Malchusa as far as giving the daughters Yerusha equal to the son? This is not. He gives a whole Shtikl Torah, why not? It's interesting, in the middle of the Shtikl Torah, he gives a bit of history. So he refers you to the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. He refers you to a few Gemaras. One is in Shabbos Kuf Tes Zayin on the day, where the Gemara says that, I think Rabbi Gamliel passed away. Not Rabbi Gamliel passed away, the father passed away. Rabbi Gamliel with his sister, we're discussing who's going to get the Yerusha. So the Dina Tarir is that Rabbi Gamliel gets. The son gets, the daughter doesn't get anything. Rabbi Gamliel's sister is married to Rabbi Leizen, I think. Rabbi Gavor, no? He put him in Chema. So his sister came, so they wanted to make fun of the Goyish court, the Christian court. That's how the Rabbi Chav explains that. The Gemara there is talking about this man has cholos anotrim. They were going to make fun of the Christian court. So they came to the... sister came to the judge in advance and she said, look here, when you're going to come tomorrow for a court case and I want you to give me half of the Yerusha, and here's Sheikha. So she gave him a menorah or something, she gave him a donkey, I forgot, one of them gave a donkey, one of them gave him a menorah. And then Rabbi Gamliel went privately to the same judge and he said, look, tomorrow I'm going to come for a court case with my sister about the Yerusha and her father, make sure that you say, according to Jewish law, that I get everything, my sister doesn't get anything because I'm the son, and here's Shaychat, you get the Shaychat. And the next day they came to court, and they, the brother, the sister, made up in advance. They want to show all the people in the court what a fraud the whole Goyish court is. So the Gemara says that first it was going to award half of the Yerusha to the sister, because that is the Christian attitude, that they give equality to the women in Yerusha. And then Rabbi Gamliel said, hey, but don't you know the story about the donkey? He started being around about the donkey, so he said, oh yeah, I think you're right. I think we should award all the money to the man, because in Jewish law, the man gets. And then the sister said, but don't you know the story about the menorah? So he said, oh, I don't know what to do, I'm all confused. And so all the people, and then everybody started to laugh, and they explained to the people in the court what was going on, that they had both given him shaykhad, and they wanted to show the way the court, the judge was influenced by the shaykh. So the Gemara there says clearly that the early Christians used to give the, even though they followed many of the Din HaTorah, they felt that this Din of the Torah is unfair, that we have to treat the women with the equal rights as the men. That's what I told Etchik years ago, that the idea of sitting together in the Reform and in many conservative synagogues comes from the Christians. They used to say for years, the family that prays together stays together. The early Christians were the ones who broke down the separation in Bishat Tfilah between the men and the women. So they felt that this was their big bone to pick against the Jewish religion, that we don't give sufficient rights to the women. That's what it is today also, the mindset, the whole women's lib movement. Among the Jews also, stems from the Christians, they hold that the Jewish religion doesn't give an equal right to the women. Our religion was given by the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we assume there must be a good reason why he gave the Torah like that, that the women don't get Yerusha and so on and so forth. So the Rabbi Chabra also quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra, and that Kuk says Vav, where the Gemara gets all excited there. The Gemara says that there was a dispute between the Sukkim and the Prushim, what's the din? If a man dies and he had a son and a daughter, the din is the son gets the Yerusha, the daughter gets nothing. What happens if the son is not alive anymore, but the son left the daughter? So there's a granddaughter and there's a daughter. So the halacha is that the granddaughter gets all the Yerusha, the daughter gets nothing. Because the son yarshins the kever against the sister, against the daughter, and the granddaughter yarshins from the son, gets the kever. The Gemara says that the Tzedukim disagreed on that. They felt that that's not fair. Bad enough that the daughter doesn't get and there's a son, but when the son is not alive and there's a granddaughter, so the granddaughter should get and the daughter shouldn't get. But they argue Tira Shabbat and Bas HaBen. It should only be fair that the daughter should get equal Yerusha to the Bas HaBen. So the Gemara says that there was a dispute that was raging for a long time, that many of these Sukhi Rabbonim, many of these Sukhi reverends or rabbis, whatever we'll call them, these Reform rabbis, insisted on this Pesach Tira Shabbat and Bas HaBen, you have to give equal rights to the women, that was picked up from the Christian, that was the Atina, that the son and the daughter should yarshin equally. That's the din by the Nenayah, that's Allah by the Nenayah, Rashi points out. That the Bchor doesn't get Tishnai, and the daughter gets equal with the daughters get equal with the son. So there are no children at all, so the sisters get equal share with the brothers. So by the Dini Hatar, it's not so, for some reason or another, some unknown reason. So the Gemara says that they made a yomtiv, that's one of the yomtiv in the Megillah Tainus, when the Chachamim succeeded in convincing the Hamonam not to follow the Tzukim on this issue, and not to give Yerusha to the daughter, but they still the route to cheat the daughter. They felt that this was a merit against the Masor of the Torah. That's not that they're cheating in money, they're taking away money from somebody. This is a complaint against the Torah. This the Torah is unfair. This the Jewish tradition and the Jewish religion is unfair to the women. So they made one of the Amitavim of Megillah Tainus was, that was to be celebrated every year, was when they were victorious against the Tzedukim on this issue, when they convinced everybody to follow the halacha that the daughter does not get equal Yerusha with the Bas HaBen. So the kitzur he has in the whole shuvah here that you don't follow Din HaMalchut. Din HaMalchut doesn't apply to Yerusha. And certainly not to give the daughter's equal share with the son. So the Shad is halacha l'mai, so what do you do? If none of the above work, what do you do? So you look in the Ramon, Pashimishpat, and the Reish Payal of Zidzayim, he gives you the solution. He says that it was always the practice that fathers wanted to leave Yerusha to their daughters. They didn't have so much money that they wanted to leave to their wives. The wife collects the ksuba anyway, which is a fortune of money. Today, the man is a multimillionaire, so he would want to leave money to his wife as well, a significant chunk of money, over and above what she is entitled to get from the ksuba anyway. So the Bzman HaShulchan Aruch, they didn't have so much money, they weren't so wealthy, so they were only interested in leaving for the daughters a little amount. So their practice was, they used to leave for the daughters half the amount that a son would get. People today might want to give equal. Sons and the daughters would get equal. Mana Ramo, they weren't so interested in giving equal, they only wanted to give Chatzi Zohar. So they had an institution that was called the Shtar Chatzi Zohar. And it was such a popular institution that they made a Rashi Tevis out of it. It took so much in the halachic literature, they made a Rashi Tevis, Shin, Ches, Zayin, stands for the word Shtar Chatzi Zohar. Shtar Chatzi Zohar means that the father makes a hiskaivis now. Let's say he tells his wife, it's a very awkward situation, so we're going to polish it up in another couple of minutes. But he tells his wife, I'm a young man now, but someday I'm going to die. So if and when I die, I want you to get Yerusha, but you can't get Yerusha. And there's none of the Kinyonah works. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to obligate myself to you. I plan by the time I die, I don't think I'll ever have more than, even though I'm going to teach him, why, I won't have more than $50 million. So I want to give any money that I have to you. So he says, I want to obligate myself as shibud that I owe you $50 million. And she gives him a handkerchief, a suder, and he says, by my receiving your handkerchief, the obligation is now legally binding. Yeah. So it's very unpleasant, very uncomfortable. Instead of talking to the wife, instead of talking to the daughters, it's very uncomfortable. So it's better to talk to your lawyer, get a Jewish lawyer. If you have a non-Jewish lawyer, but he cannot make the kinyan on behalf of somebody else. That's the principle of Zohar Yom Shlai B'Slanov, and an Achim cannot do Zichi on behalf of anybody else. You have to have a Jewish lawyer. You go to your rabbi, go to any Jewish person, say, give me a suder on behalf of my wife, on behalf of my children, and say, let's say, I want to obligate myself to give my wife $50 million. This is going to be in excess of anything I plan to have at the time that I die. So the mailer, by the time I die, she's going to clean up the whole Yerusha. She takes everything. So then I go to court. The court will not recognize that. The court will not recognize an obligation. It's not an exchange for anything. If I bought merchandise, then I have to pay. If I broke your window, I have to pay. But if I just make a Kabbalah's Kenyan in the middle of nowhere, out of a clear blue sky, that I want to obligate myself to give $1 million or $50 million, I'm told the court won't recognize it. So to satisfy the purposes of the court, they make a secular will that you leave the whole Yerusha to your wife. According to the halacha, that has no validity. You make a kinyan, at the same time make a kinyan with the wife or with someone else who's representing, another Jewish person representing the wife, and show the fun of that I owe my wife $50 million. So by the time I die, she collects everything. Or you can make a percentage. You can make whatever you want. The only thing is, when my wife finds out about this, she may decide that she wants to clean me out. Now, I just obligated myself to give it for $50 million, so that's not so smart. So I'll keep it a secret. What if she finds out the secret? So then they say in Shulchan Aruch, well, let's not, what if I divorce my wife? What if I divorce my wife and I want to give the money to the second wife? So the first wife is going to get the money. So instead of saying, I obligate myself to give $50 million to the wife, I obligate myself to give X amount of money to each daughter, a percentage of the money that I'll have in at the time of death to my daughter, any combination you want, you can make. Instead of saying that, in addition to saying that, you say, I make a kinyan, I obligate myself to give my wife, but it should not be collectible immediately. You cannot make a kinyan suda lachazman. That will be called the kinyan. You can't make a kinyan suda now and have it take effect in another 20 years, another 20 days. That's called the kinyan. At the time that the kinyan is taking effect, the mighty kinyan has disappeared and has vanished into thin air. You have to make a mighty kinyan that should be chal now. So I make a kinyan suda, it's chal now. I owe the money to my daughter already now, but I owe the money to my wife already now, but it should only be collectible. Let's say if you lend me $100, I owe you the money now, but I have the right to hold on to the money for a year, for 5 years. So this is manat niron. So you say, I owe the money to my daughter, to my wife now, but it should only be collectible at a later date. If you say it should only be collectible lahamisa, then it's also meaningless. Collectible lahamisa is right, anything in lahamisa, it's not good. So you have to say, it should only be collectible, sho akas, kodamisa. It should only be the wife or the daughter should only have the right to collect this amount of money the day before I die. The problem is that there's a minor problem with this. The problem being that we hold Malacha in Breira. The Gemara has a machlokes, but the Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. Yesh Breira, Ein Breira applies in two cases. It applies, number one, if I write a get, let's say, an easy example, I have two wives and I write a get, and it's unclear in the get which wife it's intended for. Let's say, Ksov get li, Ishtig la, Iza Sher, Tag Arshena. I have two wives, I'll make up my mind later which one I want to divorce. Let's say I have two houses. I say, I'll sell you either this house or that house, I'll decide tomorrow whether I want to live in Eretz Yisrael. In New Jersey, I'll make up my mind tomorrow, and whichever one I don't want will belong to you for $500,000. So the Gemara says that that's no good. And you say, ain't prayer. If it's a time, if you want the kinyan to be chal tomorrow, then it's okay. But if you want the kinyan to be chal today, and a faith in Shein and Mavur, then you say, ain't prayer, you cannot be chal. The Gemara says more than that. Not only do you say, ain't prayer, you cannot have a chaloyis chal. And a dovah she'ena mevur, if the nature of the chaloyis is unclear at the time that it's being chal, If the Zman HaChalos is unclear at the time that it's being called, it's also no good. I say, I want the Zechus to collect this obligation that my wife and my daughters have. They should only have the right to collect it an hour before I die. So they don't know an hour before I die. I'm going to be a Geisus for a couple of days, let's say for 3 days. And then they'll think any minute it's an hour before I die. So they won't know till an hour later that an hour ago they had the right to collect the money. So the question is, you ought to say, ain't braver there. So it should come out that the right to collect only came into existence after I died. That's when it's Mavura. After I died, so you know they have a right, they have the right to collect. Ain't braver. We can't say Hubra Hadova Lamafreya. So not only do you say ain't braver as far as the nature of the halos, that the get is written today, the Shmua of whom? This wife or that wife. So I'll say, I'll decide tomorrow, and my decision tomorrow should take effect retroactively on behalf of which wife the get was written. So you can't say Hubra Hadova Lamafreya. I'll decide tomorrow which house I want to sell you, the house in Arizona, the house in New Jersey. If I say I'll decide tomorrow, the kinyan should take effect tomorrow, that's Nicha. At the time that the kinyan is taking effect, it'll be Mavura. But if I want the kinyan to take effect today, it's January 1st tomorrow, so for tax purposes, whatever. I want the kinyan to be chal today. But I'm going to make up my mind tomorrow which one should be chal. So the Gemara says, ain't prayer. You can't say the kinyan is chal now, but say the Mavura, the nature of the kinyan. What house are you selling? So the Gemara even says further, the Gemara Gittin says, if I say, Hareza Gita Shahat Chodim Yisofi, I give my wife a get, and I say, the get should take effect an hour before I die. So you don't know what an hour before I die is going to be till I die. Then you're going to say, oh, now I know that it's 1:30 the get was called. But the get wasn't called 1:30. At 1:30 you didn't know that it's an hour before you die. You don't know till he actually dies at 2:30. So then the Gemara would say, ain't rare that it's not called. So here, that's the problem also. Shouldn't that pose a problem? I say, I make a couple of opinions with the Jewish lawyer, let's say with the rabbi, that I owe $50 million to my wife and $10 million to each one of the daughters. The sons get the rest of the fortune that I have. They get everything else. But I don't want them to collect now. So I say, it shouldn't be collectible till Lachamis. Collect till Lachamis is gone. So they don't collect a penny. That's all thank you. I say, no. It should only be collectible. Show Achas Kaidimitas. So you don't know. The Show Achas Kaidimitas, you don't know yet that that's the Show Achas. Till he dies, then you know retroactively that was the Show Achas. So shouldn't we say Ein Breira? And they didn't get this clue to collect until after he died, and then it's zero. So the whole Eitzah is garnished. So the Shulchan Aruch says that it is good. We accept it. Even though we hold Ein Breira, we accept it. Why? And that's based on the Ran and the Dorot. On Daf Mem Hey, at the end of Amud Beis, the Ran has a famous comment with a gigantic Ran. A lot of the Rans are very big in the Dorot. So the Ran explains that when do you say Ein Breira? It's only if an essential aspect of the Chaloi is Ein Mavura B'Shat Mayim. The get is written today, Lishmo. You don't know Lishmo of this girl, Lishmo of that wife. You don't know which wife. Or let's say he's going to propose either to this girl or to that girl, is going to be the Kaddish B'Shtar. So he writes the Shtar Kiddushin, Hariyad Rachel Mukadesh. So he didn't decide which Rachel, whether this Rachel, the Rachel from California, or the Rachel from New Jersey. He didn't make up his mind which girl they're going to marry yet. So that's a Shtar Kiddushin. That's Nitzav. Shalom Lishmo. You can't say Yesh Breir. Or you give a get, and you want to get to the Chal Shachas Kenim Yisrael. That's a major aspect of the Chaloi. When is the get taking effect? But here, the Shibut Gomen I owe already now. I don't say the Shibut should only come into existence the hour before I die. I already owe you the money now. The only thing is the Schus Egviya is a major aspect. If you owe money and you have no Schus Egviya, so it's not worth too much. But still, it is an important aspect, but it's not the major aspect. So the Choshe Mishpat Pas Mevalochi, you know, you can think of...
what you're giving.
Right, so since the amount is clear, and the Chiyuv was Chal already now, everything is clear. The only thing is, when exactly does the other person have a right to demand the money from me? See, if the other person, if my wife and my daughters wouldn't demand it, I would pay on my own. I can pay on my own before I'm holding by dying. If I pay on my own, the payment will be, the Chobo will be Parua. Just because you have no specific bid, doesn't mean you can't make it if you run. You can't make it if you run. But if they want to demand the money, so they don't, so the right to demand the money is not the major aspect of this chaloi, of the hischai. So therefore we say here that yesh breir.
This is not changeable though, some future day. He can,
whenever you make a chaloi that's not going to take effect till later, so you can always change your mind until it's chal. So let's say the fact that I owe the money to my wife and to my daughter, that's irreversible. But the fact that they have the right to collect it only an hour before I die, so any time before the hour before I die, I can say, I don't give you the right to collect it. So if I'll be a nice guy and I'll pay it, so I paid it. But then if I drop dead, I rescinded their right to collect it before they got their right.
Isn't that awesome for a person too?
No, perfectly legitimate. let's say I sell you a house, and I write in the shtar the house should belong to you as of March 1st, and it's not yet March 1st. So if I back out before March 1st, you don't get the house. Let's say I'm a Kaddish and Isha, I give a ring, I give a get, I want the get to be Chal March 1st. If I back out, or she backs out in the Kiddushin, the get, she can back out. Get the
house.
Well,
you was being pushed off, and here you
right, so whatever was pushed off, I can back out from. So I can back out from the Sfuz Gvira. So true, after I back out from the Sfuz Gvira, the Chov is still left. Still owe my wife the $50 million, and I owe the daughter the $10 million, whatever. And if I'll pay them and be parua, my children, my sons won't be able to have any kindness, they won't be able to ask for the money back. But if I don't pay them, and I die, then the daughter or the wife won't have any kindness in the Chov, but they have no right to collect the gift. So they have no right to collect it, so the sons will maintain the Yerusha. My second wife will get it.
Why
first wife won't be able to have any Tzchusik Zia. If I backed out before the Tzchusik Zia came to fruition, that's called Alti Diba Mevatel Diba. Whenever you make Chaloyt Lach HaZman, you can reverse your Das before that Zman comes. Sometimes there is Mishapara, sometimes not. Mishapara is when someone pays for something.
Yeah.
Here, I don't think there'll be a Mishapara. If I divorce my wife and I marry another wife, I don't think there'll be a Mishapara. Or if I decided I don't want to give my daughters because they're married to multimillionaires, the husbands are rich. I don't think there'd be a Mishapara. Mishapara, they normally have in a limited case. When someone pays for something and I back out, but that's not fair. You pay? On behalf of a katan, yeah, that's a machlokes in the Mishnah in the end of Baba Basra, Blessed Rabbi Yeshua. Whether you can do Zachli Adam Shlomifon on behalf of a katan, we're asking yes. He's asking, yes. He cannot make it often. He cannot, if he's a bardas, tamachlekes, the Rambam and the Raivim, in the end of Hilchot Mechira. Can a cut make a Kenyan suitor? Other Kenyanim are cut in the Shehigiel and the Saputis can make. The Kenyan suitor is machlekes. The Rambam has Kenyan suitor, he can't make. But someone else makes the Kenyan suitor on his behalf, that's legitimate. That's perfectly legitimate. So that's how you have to do it. You have to encourage all of the lawyers. All the religious lawyers that when they make a tzavua for Jewish people, it's a very easy thing. 1, 2, 3. If I'm not mistaken, the rabbinic alumni office upstairs has forms, just very simple forms to fill out to document the Isis Chayvus. You can make this Chayvus like a shtar also. I fill out a document, I sign my name, I give over the shtar to a rabbi or to the Jewish lawyer to pick it up to be zeicher the kinyan shtar on behalf of my wife, on behalf of my children. You can do it the shtar or a kinyan suit. It's very easy. And the lawyer should put this document in the file together with the secular will so that later on they'll know that it's always your house, not Pigeon.
Is this just for giving it to somebody else besides your son? I mean, if you want to give it to your wife, you don't need a special thing, but if you want to just give it to your son, technically all you have to do is just write up, this is my before, this is all my...
Unless he wants to change the Yerusha, unless he wants to give not the amount that the Torah says he should give, and he's not yet Shechid Meira, so then it wouldn't work neither in Atar nor in the Rabban, and then he would need this again. Okay.